We
are.
We
are.
We are Cultivate.
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 We are Cultivate.
For a long time, a man's ability to lose their virginity and their ability to woo the opposite sex has been a measure of their masculinity. Often bullied when they cannot get together with a female partner, a young man without sexual experience in his early 20s often becomes the subject of ridicule. But when that young man begins to blame the female sex as a whole for their lack of attraction towards him, a dangerous and hateful plot may begin to unfold. This is the story of perhaps the most influential incel in American history, Elliot Rodger, and what led him to carry out the Isla Vista things. Welcome, Horror House Hotties, to this episode. My name is Amy.
And I am Dom.
And did you know that only 10% of all podcasts ever started make it past the first 10 episodes? So despite what our parents may think, we're not the most disappointing, unstable, underachieving shit shows that they always assumed we would be. Dom, how you doing?
Only 10%. Wow.
Only 10%.
Wow.
I know.
That's...
We are the top 10% of something.
That makes the fact that we've got as many episodes as we've got to now even more insane to me.
Wow.
So before I get into how I'm doing, I think that isn't as important as how you're doing. So please, Amy, how are you doing? Because I know that you have been your sick Victorian lady for a little bit now.
Yeah.
So how are you doing? Obviously before we hit record, we talked about how we're doing and stuff, but for the listeners, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I apologize to the listeners for my absence for the last couple of weeks. I have been, as Dom said, a very sickly Victorian child in my bed. and if I could have got away with just laying in bed for a couple of months, I probably would have. But instead, I went to the doctors like a big girl and got some antibiotics, and I'm slowly on the mend. I apologise in advance for the coughing fit that will inevitably happen at some point during this episode. but know that it's not half as bad as it would have sounded if I'd have tried to record a week ago. I'm getting better.
True.
Thank you. Sorry, apologies for my absence. But mummy's home. And I'm back with a new case, so we're good to go.
Absolutely. It is a good thing we didn't record last week, because people would have been like, when did Darth Vader become the co-host of Horror House? What's happening?
Yeah. And that was when my voice came back. Like, it disappeared completely for a little while. And then when it came back, it was a lot like I'd gone to the dark side, so...
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been fun for anyone.
Amy became
But you did a very good solo episode, and we did a feed drop, which is always fun. It's not the end of the world. Sometimes me disappearing for a little while can be a good thing.
we still gave you some content. As Amy said, I put out a solo episode. Thank you for the love. Quite a few people said I did all right on that, so thank you to everyone who positive reviews. And as Amy said, we also did a fee drop, so big love to Alicia and Sierra from Twisted and Uncorked for sending us an episode.
I've been doing the heart wrong. I'm told these days that you have to do a heart like this. Apparently if you're old, if you do your hearts like this, you have to do it. It worked.
it did it before it like as well.
But I've been focusing too hard. It doesn't really.
Either way.
And the audio listeners right now are like, what the hell is she talking about? But yeah.
This is why you need to subscribe to the YouTube channel.
I just prefer to do it the old way. I'll do it. See, it works with that one, but when you do it with the other one, it doesn't work. So that suggests to me that that's more of a heart.
The video people are like,
look at how
the hearts need to stop.
All of the love. It's beautiful. Beautiful. I've never made it work that many times before. How exciting.
But as for how I'm doing, I'm good. I have rejoined the gym after a 2-year absence, around 2-year absence. I hurt a lot. but it's going well. The gym has sort of beaten me up a little bit. Yeah. The gym is very much kind of being a bit horrible to me right now in my body, but it's getting easier. Sort of every time I go, it's a little bit easier. So that's good. I discovered 2 new shows that I do want to give a shout out to on Netflix. Not that Netflix are watching this or listening to this. But they're on the UK Netflix. I don't know if they're on the American Netflix or any other international one, but they are on the UK Netflix. So if you've got a VPN or you live in the UK, then you can check them out. Fall of the House of Usher. Highly recommend. I'm a big fan of Edgar Allan Poe, and there's many little references to his works, and it's based on his short stories and poems and stuff. So I thought that was very, very good. And also Midnight Mass, which I was very unsure about. Very, very unsure. I was like, this is just going to be hitting me in the face with religious commentary for 8 episodes. But it's very, very good. It's very good. Highly, highly recommend.
I definitely second.
So yeah, that's been...
It was a very good series. I haven't seen Fall of the House of Usher, but I want to. Because I've seen Haunting of Hill House. Because they're all like the same sort of cast. It's a bit like American Horror Story, but it's a different story. Yeah, yeah. And I've seen that, and that was very good. And I saw... I can't remember what it's called, but the Bly Manor one. Yeah. That was really good. So I do want to see House of Usher, and I've heard good things about it, so I'll be watching it very soon as well.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Good. I think you should. And I actually called it right thing this time, because ever since I've been watching it, every time I've bring it up in conversation, I've said the House of the Fall of Usher, and I'm like, that's not right. It's Fall of the House of Usher.
Close enough. You get what you mean.
That'll do. Have you watched Mass Midnight? The fuck?
Have you watched Fall of the Usher Mass? Yeah, no, very, very good show.
Absolutely.
Dom, do you have this week any true crime news for us? Any true crime tidbits that we can chow down on?
I do. Like a true professional, I found this 5 minutes before I came onto the recording.
That's how we roll, baby.
I do this every week. So good old Reddit and the Florida Man subreddit yet again came in clutch for this one. And I'm just going to read the headline, obviously, first, because it perfectly encapsulates everything about Florida Man and what a Florida Man should be. Like, if you're in Florida and you want to be a Florida Man, this is what you should aspire to be doing.
This is what you do.
Use this as a reference point. cool. So, are you ready for this title, Amy? I think even from the title, you're going to get a good chuckle. So,
okay.
Quote. So, this is the caption on the Reddit post, and then obviously I'll go into the actual news article. But the caption on the Reddit post is absolutely amazing. So, quote: Florida Man hotel guest upset with noise from upstairs, which is understandable. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
And normally you would go down to the front desk or the concierge and you would be like, you know, noise is a bit crazy. Could you have a word with the people upstairs? Like, let's sort it out. But not Florida Man. No, no, no. You know, no. Concierge hotel front services was not good enough. So, carries on. Pepper sprays the hallway of the floor above, hoping that would stop the noise, which is a fantastic idea. Instead, Instead, the hotel is evacuated after guests on that floor complain of breathing problems, resulting in an investigation that leads to his arrest. So that's what we're dealing with today.
okay. I mean,
An unorthodox method, I will admit.
Because pepper spray, right? You get the pepper spray and you spray it into someone's face. It's like a one-time, one-person application. So how the hell do you pepper spray a whole hallway?
I don't know if you had like more than one pepper spray.
In which case, why? Who takes that many pepper sprays to a hotel? What was he planning for the weekend?
He went to Costco and got a big industrial tub of pepper spray, like a massive, you know those peppers that you get in Italian restaurants that are just ridiculously big. It was the pepper spray that size.
Oh my god, that is so concerning, isn't it? Because that was like his genuine thought process. Like you said, our genuine thought process would be someone upstairs making quite a lot of noise. Let's go speak to the concierge, or even you don't even really need to go and speak to them. Just phone down to the concierge and say, look, they're making a bit of a racket. Yep. They might be having a fun time, but I'm not. Can you have a word? That's the logical thing to do in that situation. At what point or stage of your life or what upbringing do you have to have had for you to go, nah, do you know what? I'm just going to pepper spray the whole hallway. That's the only thing that's going to fix this.
I really don't know.
Is mass pepper spraying.
Can you imagine, like, he forgets that he pepper sprayed the hallway and then he himself goes up to the hallway and he's like, oh, this is spicy. Oh, what's happened? Oh, shit, that was my pepper spray. Oh, no.
God damn it. Yeah, it's like when you mop yourself into a corner and then you can't get out. It's a bit silly, really, isn't it? It's a bit silly.
It is.
And then he got evacuated anyway, so he still didn't get any sleep. So the whole thing was pretty counterproductive.
It was a fruitless endeavor. So that was the Reddit caption. I've got the article up. So this is on the Daytona Beach News Journal. And similar title to the Reddit thread, guest pepper sprayed DeLand hotel hallway because of noise that would not let him sleep. Quote, a charter bus driver who complained to a DeLand hotel's staff that he could not sleep because of the noise coming from an upstairs room, pepper sprayed the hallway outside the room, leading to the evacuation of more than 100 guests, police said. Daniel Young, 59, was arrested and charged with criminal mischief of more than $1,000 and possession of a weapon by a convicted in-state felon. So he's already got a felony rap. So maybe lay off the pepper spraying of a hallway. Might be a good idea.
Yeah. There's something quite nice sounding about criminal mischief. Like maybe it's the Brit in me. But it's like, criminal mischief is just like, oh, what a cheeky chappy, you know? What a scallywag.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't sound that bad.
So the article continues, Volusia County Branch Jail records show he was released on his own recognizance after spending 2 days behind bars. Obviously, guests experienced breathing problems and some came out of the building coughing and one person was taken to the hospital, a police report would state. More than 100 guests were evacuated because of the smell that had guests experiencing respiratory problems. More than 15 emergency vehicles and 3 police vehicles responded to the incident at the hotel. I won't go through the whole article, but that's the sort of gist. Just a top tip. If you do have a noise complaint, that's what the concierge and the front desk is there for. Maybe use them.
Yeah, just don't immediately go for pepper spray.
Don't pepper spray.
Maybe at a later point. Maybe at a later point, the pepper spray might be useful. But when so far it's just noise, if at any point you're considering pepper spraying a doorway, you've probably done something wrong. You're probably on the wrong path.
Yeah.
That is important life advice that we should all try and stick to.
That was my true crime news update. A very Florida man Florida Man story.
Florida Man never lets us down.
Quite a read. No, it really doesn't.
He just does good. I mean, he doesn't do good. He very rarely does good, in fact. But in terms of, you know, giving us a topic to talk about, he always does good. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Just a lot of weird shit happening in Florida. You know, just a lot of crazy, crazy-ass stuff going down
there. I don't know what's in the water in Florida. I don't know what's in the food. I don't know what's going on with Florida, but don't change.
Me neither.
Please don't change. You're a great source of entertainment.
Yeah, we appreciate you if no one else does. Cool. Well, thank you for that. So on to today's case. Have you heard of Elliot Rodger or the Ila? I think I'm saying it right when I say Ila Vista or Isla Vista killings. Have you heard of either of those names?
I think so. Isn't this the case of obviously this person who went on a rampage?
Not that long ago, 2014. It's within our adult lifetimes.
Yeah. I know of it, but I don't know. You know, it's very surface level things that I know. I don't know it in great detail. I'm not going to lie. When you were doing your introduction, I was like, "This is just us talking about Andrew Tate, isn't it? This isn't even a case. This is Andrew Tate." Maybe this is, Andrew Tate. This is where he got his inspiration from being an absolute fucking doofus. Sorry, Andrew Tate fans. If you're listening.
Yeah, although I think...
Why are you here?
Maybe Andrew Tate falls into a different group, because I presume Andrew Tate gets laid. Like, I don't know who. I don't know what self-deprecating, probably self-hating woman is going to fuck Andrew Tate. But, presumably he's getting laid, whereas this particular person is very much... He's very open about the fact that he is not getting laid, and therefore, you know, is not very nice. I mentioned in the introduction that he's perhaps the most influential incel, which, is up for debate. I'm sure there's others, but this guy is one that has gone on to be very referenced in incel forums. Not that I'm often in them. He comes up quite a lot. I knew this, but I don't know if everyone will. So I'm going to say it now. If you don't know what I mean when I say incel, it's short for involuntary celibacy. So it's always men, I believe. I think you have to be a man. Basically can't get laid. Is there female
incels? There are some
incel
women. Yeah. There are some incel
then
women.
Anyone
Not
who
as
just
many,
can't get
but
laid.
There are some.
And blames the sex. As opposed to themselves or anything that, heaven forbid, there might be something wrong with you as a person as opposed anything else. Not getting laid. So they get just a bit upset about it, really. So, yeah, interesting case. One that was recommended to me by a friend. So thank you very much, darling. Always appreciated. Should we dive in? Should we find out about the man himself?
Yes, I can't wait to hear the story about the man who couldn't get laid and then went, oh, it's obviously their fault, not mine.
Yeah, obviously it's women.
Obviously it's women.
It couldn't possibly be anything wrong with me. So as always, I'll start off with his early life and a little bit of background on this young. Elliot Oliver Robertson Rodger, or Elliot Rodger, was born in London, in England. Before he moved to the United States with his parents at the age of five. He was raised in Los Angeles. His father is the British filmmaker Peter Rodger, who, if you're particularly up on your film knowledge, you will know worked on the 2012 movie The Hunger Games. He was the second unit director.
God, I'm fun. A film student. How did I not know that? Oh,
tidbit
no.
For you there.
My degree is useless.
I mean, it's not really relevant. I don't think there's anything to be pinned on Peter Rodger necessarily, other than the fact that his son was a bit of a psycho. But yeah, there we go.
God damn it,
Peter. Little fun fact. His mother is a Malaysian Chinese nurse who served as a first aid practitioner and research assistant on several major film productions, hence they met. A younger sister was born before his parents divorced, and Peter then remarried. He and his second wife, whose name I'm definitely going to pronounce wrong, I believe it's Sumaya Ackerborn. Let's go with it.
I don't know. Sorry.
I mean, that's as close as I'm going to get. Who was a Moroccan actress with whom Elliot had a very strained relationship. And her and Peter also had a son together. So Elliot's half. So three siblings all together. Roger attended Crespi Carmelite High School, an all-boys Catholic school in Encino, Los Angeles, and then Taft High School in Woodland Hills, which he attended for only 1 week due to severe bullying. He last attended Independence Continuation High School in Lake Balboa, where he graduated in 2009. Roger briefly enrolled in Los Angeles Pierce College and Moorpark College before transferring to Santa Barbara College in 2011. And thereafter, he resided in La Vista, which is, you know, will probably sound somewhat familiar. So that's kind of his educational.
Really bounced around schools.
Well, we'll find out. Despite seeing multiple therapists from as young as eight, he was never actually formally diagnosed with a mental health disorder, but he was on the autistic spectrum. By the ninth grade, Roger was, quote, increasingly bullied, and wrote later that he, quote, cried by himself at school every day, which might suggest why he maybe bounced around a little bit. He probably couldn't really settle anywhere if he was getting bullied. Badly, I guess. Around that age, so around sort of the ninth grade, he developed an addiction to the online game World of Warcraft, which dominated his life for most of his teenage years and briefly into his 20s. Not that we judge anyone that plays World of Warcraft here. I've never shot anyone, so... it does go to say something about his state of mind. Like, I will be the first to vouch that World of Warcraft can suck hours out of your life. Like, you can play for 12, 13 hours and not even realize you've done it. So if he's actively doing that and he's got an addiction, chances are he is spending a lot of time online in a different character. So it's not the state of mind to be in.
No. And like you say, you know, video games themselves don't cause, but you know, I play GTA. Does that mean that I've hotwired a car and then ran people over? No. Like, it's...
That's not how it works.
You know, it's the frame of... Exactly. And it's why, like, I get really pressed when people are like, ban video games, and video games are too violent, and GTA should never be put on a store shelf. And I'm just like, well, I've played many, many violent games, and I haven't committed a crime. So it's the person, like, that maybe shouldn't be playing those rather than the game.
Exactly. So we're not blaming World of Warcraft, but it's worth mentioning that he's perhaps somewhat detached from reality. As I mentioned, at Crespi Carmelite High School, he was bullied. And in one incident, his head was taped to a desk while he was asleep, presumably because he'd been playing World of Warcraft all night and then fell asleep.
That's a dick move. I shouldn't laugh,
it's fucking hilarious. Like, you've fallen asleep, you're getting your head taped to a desk. But for a kid... in school, that is pretty traumatic. Like, that's not a nice thing to have happen to you. So we're not encouraging bullying, but also classic move.
I don't think I would ever go to school again if that happened to me. I'd be like, right, I'm being homeschooled from now on.
How asleep do you have to be? Because that's going to take a lot of tape to tape someone tape someone's head to a desk, like, you have to be pretty fucking asleep.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Maybe he was out of it. Who knows?
Damn. That's a crap day, isn't it? Jeez.
That's not a fun day. No. According to Roger, in 2012, the, quote, one friend he had in the whole world who truly understood him said he didn't want to be friends anymore, without offering any reason as to why. Roger had a YouTube account and a blog titled Elliot Rogers Official Blog. Real original naming convention.
Creative.
Elliot, thank you for that. through which he expressed his loneliness and rejection. After turning 18, Roger began rejecting mental health care. Never a wise move. And I don't just say that to keep myself in business. And he became increasingly isolated. He said that he was unable to make friends, although acquaintances at the time said that he often rebuffed their attempts to be friendly. A family friend, Dale Lorna, said that he counseled Roger on approaching women, but that Roger did not follow the advice. Lorna also commented that when he met Roger at 8 or 9, I could see then that there was something wrong with him. Looking back now, he strikes me as someone who was broken from the moment of conception. There were some troubling early incidences that may have hinted at Elliot's future crimes. These included Elliot claiming that he had thrown hot coffee over a couple that he was envious of. He also made an attempt to push some girls over a 10-foot ledge, although that particular attempt wasn't massively successful, because he was then beaten up by some guys who had witnessed the incident. So that kind of, you know, backfired.
I mean, just saying, you did try and push someone
over. Yeah, I mean, karma's a bitch. Yeah.
Also, the hot coffee is a bit extreme. Like, when I see a happy couple, I just look at them with disdain. I don't get the coffee and throw it over them. Like,
just be normal about it. Just smile and then hate them later. It's not an issue. You don't have to be
exactly.
I actually haven't got this one written down, but there was also another instant where he put orange juice in a super soaker and squirted it at couples that he saw out and about in the street. But presumably so that they would think it was piss. But yeah, I don't really know where his head was at on this one.
This piss really does smell orangey.
God,
what's this going
this
on here?
This is citrusy. This is a Sunny Day.
It burns my eyes.
Interesting choice.
Oh.
So yeah, he was not particularly happy with people seemingly were in happy relationships and women in particular. And his relationship with his roommate at the time wasn't particularly great either. He accused him of stealing and there was a lot of arguments between those two as well. Elliot's parents actually reported him to the police after becoming concerned about his YouTube posts. Obviously, he was talking about women and about people in general, about his loneliness, et cetera, et cetera. His mental health, wasn't in a great way. But it was deemed, upon reviewing that and upon talking to Elliot, that he did not meet the criteria for involuntary mental health commitment. So he was never actually committed. You can't really force someone to seek mental health assistance if they don't want to. So, unfortunately, that was the case with Elliot. In 2014, there was somewhat of a turning point when Elliot wrote his manifesto. And when I say manifesto, I don't mean the little pamphlet that you get given by your local politician. I mean a 107,000-word manifesto.
Yeah.
Which most books are about 50,000 words, just to put that in perspective. Yeah. My thesis was 50,000 words. It's a lot. It's a lot of words. It was entitled, quote, My Twisted World, The Story of Elliot Rodger. Again, his naming
of things isn't, I mean, not massively creative. Just not to be critical, but, you know, you could maybe think a little bit more outside the box if you wanted to.
True. His creative writing is not too great.
Definitely not the biggest issue in all of this. But, you know, if we're being picky, he emailed his manifesto to 34 people, including his parents, childhood friends, former teachers, and his therapist, as you do. The manifesto was overwhelmingly racist, misogynistic, and hate-driven. I've chosen just a couple of statements from within the manifesto just to give you a little taste of the sort of flavour of what we were talking about here. Roger stated at one point in his manifesto that in his ideal world, he would, quote, sorry, just clear my throat for this one because it is particularly peak. In his ideal world, he would, quote, quarantine all women in concentration camps. At these camps, the vast majority of the female population will be deliberately starved to death. That would be an efficient and fitting way to kill them all off. I would have an enormous tower built just for myself and gleefully watch them all die. Just let that one sink in with you, Dom.
He hates women because they won't have sex with him. So he wants to kill women so they still can't have sex with him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Don't better yourself. Like, don't try and make yourself a better person. No. Just kill women.
Do you know what? There's a part of me, and I'm not going to get too massively into it because we will talk about the whole, you know, incel misogyny aspect of this at the point. There's one part of me when reading about people like this or about incels in general where I just think, oh, just someone, you know, let's all get together just for a minute. Let's draw like a straw, a bit like jury service. You know, if we're thinking that they're going to be a bit of a psycho, just one of us take one for the team and give the poor sod a blowjob, right? That would, you know, solve the issue, right? But then the other side of me kicks in, and this is the side that should win, and I think is probably the, I don't want to say feminist side of me, but definitely the stronger woman side of me that says, no, why the fuck should we? Just don't be a twat.
No, I agree with that. 100%.
Women owe you nothing.
100%.
We owe you nothing. Uh-huh. If you can't get laid, that's your problem. Just live your life without getting laid. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, if this is your answer to your issue, it definitely suggests more of a problem with
your
brain than it does with females as a general group of people. It's just very, very odd perspective.
Like, I'm not going to say how long it is. For me, it's been long enough that I think my virginity has come back at this point. But I haven't gone and, you know, wrote a manifesto and that I'm going to kill the female population.
Exactly. It's not women's fault.
God damn.
Like, you know.
No, it's my fault. Just,
that's not how it works. It's just, I don't know how your brain has to be wired for you to go, oh, yeah, no, it's every single woman in the world. Yeah. That has an issue, not me, this one person. However, you'll be pleased to know he wasn't just a misogynistic prick. He was also a racist.
Great.
He makes a racist comment about another boy, which, he was obviously having more success with the ladies. And he wasn't happy about this, obviously, and very jealous. So he... He makes this comment, quote, how could an inferior, ugly black boy be able to get a white girl and not me? I am beautiful and I am half white myself. I am descended from British aristocracy. He is descended from slaves. Really nice guy.
Yeah. What's this guy's name again?
So Elliot Roger. I know what you're thinking, Dom. You're thinking, is he beautiful? No, I mean, he's not a bad looking guy. Honestly, he's not at all. He's not obviously what he thinks he is.
Yeah, it's a pick me boy. Oh, dearie me.
Like, don't get me wrong, I don't really understand why he didn't get laid. Like, I'm sure there was probably girls that would have been interested in him. I can only assume it's because of his attitude towards people in general and maybe, like, the crippling, you know, self-doubt and low self-esteem and anxiety that comes with being bullied as you grow up. I think eventually he would have got laid. Like, he's not, you know, disgustingly ugly. Someone would have gone there eventually. But at this point, I think it's more his attitude that was probably preventing it. But he's definitely not, I mean, we're definitely focusing on the wrong bit of that statement. Like, he's not unattractive. He's not beautiful, but also fucking racist. Like, just, you know, what difference does that make? It's
Yeah, exactly.
Just to give you, like I said, a flavour of some of the stuff that was included in this manifesto. And I use that in quotes.
Yeah. And you know, so quite a lot when I do, you know, an AMA on my personal Instagram page, I'm pretty sure it's just bots that send me the same question every single time, because I do get the same question every single time. But one of them is looks or personality more important to you? And I always say that you could be absolutely stunning. You could be the most beautiful person in the world. But if you've got a personality that is fucking shit, then that makes you massively unattractive.
Yeah.
And you could
be still maternal.
Quite plain. Yeah, exactly. And you could be quite plain. You might not be society's standard of attractive, but you might have a bomb-ass personality, and that makes you instantly more attractive. So, you know, like you say, he's not ugly by any stretch, but he's a shit person. So why would they want to have a relationship with someone
be around
like
him? Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. It's like I say, it's this sense of just entitlement that he's got, that he thinks that he's attractive enough that women owe him something.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case at all.
No. Absolutely not.
So the manifesto also started to outline some of his plans for his, well, what he calls his day of
revenge.
Retribution.
So
it starts with phase one, where he says, quote, I will start with the first phase of my vengeance, silently killing as many people as I can around Isla Vista by luring them into my apartment through some form of trickery. Okay. So that's not even just women. That's anyone. You know, that's phase one. A, quote, war on women was the second phase of his plan. And he says, quote, the second phase will take place on the day of retribution itself, just before the climactic massacre. My war on women. I will attack the very girls who represent everything I hate in the female gender. The hottest sorority of UCSB. University Colleges of Santa Barbara. he had this obsession with this one sorority that he considered to be the prettiest of girls. And that's where he'd, I guess, targeted his war on women, or where that would stop. Stage two sounds fun. So that was the manifesto. He also put out one last YouTube video, which was entitled Elliot Rogers Retribution, in which he complained of being rejected by women and envying sexually active men. And he described his planned attack and the motives behind it. In the video, he says, this is a long one, so bear with. He says, quote, today is the day of retribution, the day in which I will have my revenge against humanity, against all of you. For the last 8 years of my life, ever since I hit puberty, I've been forced to endure an existence of loneliness, rejection, and unfulfilled desires, all because girls have never been attracted to me. Girls gave their affection and sex and love to other men, but never to me. I'm 22 years old and I'm still a virgin. I've never even kissed a girl. I've been through college for 2.5 years, more than that actually, and I'm still a virgin. It has been very torturous. College is the time when everyone experiences those things such as sex and fun and pleasure. Within those years, I've had to rot in loneliness. It's not fair. You girls have never been attracted to me. I don't know why you girls aren't attracted to me, but I will punish you all for it. It's an injustice, a crime, because I don't know what you don't see in me. I'm the perfect guy, and yet you throw yourselves at these obnoxious men instead of me, the supreme gentleman.
Wow. Wow. The ego on that. Jesus. Christ.
Okay.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's...
I don't even know where to begin.
That's...
With that.
That's wild.
Like, it's a statement. The YouTube video is... I mean, it's probably on the internet somewhere. Yeah. But in terms of YouTube and like the legal ways of watching it, it's not around anymore because of what we'll talk about shortly. But it's... To put that out, it's scary because of what happened next. But it's easy to see why people would disregard it because he sounds like a spoiled fucking child.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
He's like, it's not fair. Yeah. I'm attractive. Why don't you like me? Blah, blah, blah. It's just, it's so easy to dismiss. And if, for example, that had been sent to a woman, just one woman, and she had turned around and gone, what the fuck are you on about, mate?
Yeah.
Like, you sound like an idiot. I can guarantee that there would be some societal blame on that woman.
Oh, yeah.
For being cruel to him and what happened next. But actually, there really fucking shouldn't be. Like, it's...
No, absolutely not.
It's a completely appropriate response to someone that is being that narcissistic.
A little bitch.
And
Yeah.
And just dickish. And it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, just that whole statement. There's just so much in it. I've read it so many times now, and I'm just like, wow.
That's wild.
And 22, isn't, and like you said, young? Like, sorry, isn't that
see,
old?
That's, yeah.
It really isn't.
It's young. But
it's young.
Yeah,
you've got loads of time.
So to your earlier point, absolutely, he sounds like a spoiled brat. I'm going to say he sounds like a little bitch. Not going to lie. And like you say, 22 is not that old. For anyone that's interested and wondering, I didn't lose my virginity until I was 20. You know, so it's like,
and I think that's quite common amongst men. Like, it.
Yeah.
The one thing that I do believe is that it's a lot easier for women to not only lose their virginity, but also just to get sex in general. Like, it's not necessarily fair. And you can look at all the societal things that make this the case. But a woman can walk into a bar on any given night and make it somewhat obvious that she's after sex and will get it. Like, that's just how it is. A man can do the same thing and it won't happen because they'll come across as creepy, or women will have more options and it just doesn't happen as easily. So I think generally men do lose their virginity a bit later. But 22 is really... no age. I know plenty of men that don't lose it until like 23, 24, 25. I know, I'm not going to like out them on the podcast, but I know like 30-year-old virgins, and it's fine because it's just not a big deal. Like, it's...
No.
It may feel like a big deal because everyone else is doing it, or it seems like everyone else is doing it, but it's just because you haven't met the right person. And this guy, I wonder what he was actually doing to try and make it happen. Because it seems like all he was ever really doing was being online at home and then taunting couples in public. And I'm not being funny, but how is that either of those things going to get you laid? Like, if that's your goal,
100%.
Then what? You're not helping 100%. Yourself.
But 22 is... 22 is he's a spring age? Chicken. Really like, isn't. He's a baby. Yeah. Like,
you've got
honestly.
Plenty of time to be worrying about it. It's
exactly.
just not a.
Exactly.
It's not something that needs to be, you know, the be all and end all of your life at that stage.
And you're definitely not.
So.
No. And you're definitely not going to get it if you put out a manifesto saying that you're going to kill every single female because they're not giving it to you.
Exactly. That. So that was his statement. He considers himself the supreme gentleman and cannot work out for love nor money why he hasn't been laid at the grand old age.
Shocker, right?
I think on that note, it's probably a good time to take a little break. Assess our own lives and our own egos and see, you know, how we feel about it.
Yeah.
Dom, are you good for a little break?
Yeah. I'm gonna ponder why no woman slept with me before I was 20. Because I feel shafted now. Because this guy is 22 and he's, you know, he's still a virgin. Like, what the hell?
More World of Warcraft, I reckon.
I know, probably.
Cool. Okie doke. In that case, we will see you back here in just a few.
Hey, it's the Graveyard Girls, a true crime and mysteries podcast. Join us every week in our cozy crypt
as we dig up some of the strangest and darkest cases from around the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts, you can also find us on Instagram under the Graveyard Girls Podcast. In the meantime,
keep creeping
and we'll keep digging.
Welcome to the Carolinas, where serial killers, abductions, and mysterious circumstances are abundant. Join me, Tiffany, and my co-host Sam, two moms, as we cover local true crime cases that will leave you wanting more. Tune in every weekend for our new episodes where we rotate between North Carolina and South Carolina true crime cases. Find us on all major podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio, and follow us on our social media. We're on Instagram at Cola City Crime, and you can find our Facebook page by searching our name, Cola City Crime.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us for part two of this somewhat wild and slightly off-piste and off-brand to usual episode. Dom, how you doing? Are you feeling good about the episodes?
Oh, right. This guy. Man, I wish I could be friends with this guy. He sounds like an absolute fucking superstar. I'm joking, everyone, just in case the sarcasm wasn't coming through. He's a little bitch. I mean, you know, we've said it multiple times already in part one. This guy just needed to get off his high horse and maybe look at himself in the mirror and realize that the problem is not the female population. The problem is you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's okay to be a little bit bitter about women. Okay to, or the opposite sex, you know, whatever. It's okay to be a little bit, you know, internally annoyed at a collection of people. It's what you do outwardly that makes you not a nice person and also a criminal. And what our mate Elliot Roger did was pretty extreme.
Elliot.
Think is a nice way of putting. Made somewhat good on his comments in his manifesto. So shall we dive in and find out a little bit about what made Elliot Roger infamous?
Yes. I know somewhat about what he did, but I'm ready for his plan of action.
Cool. Well, on Friday, the 23rd of May, 2014, Roger began his attacks at his apartment on Seville Road, where he killed three men by stabbing them multiple times. First, he stabbed Weihan Wang, and then Chen Hong, then George Chen. Roger's last victim in the apartment, George Chen, incurred a total of 94 stab wounds.
That's probably a record for how many stab wounds we've had in a case, to be honest.
It's, jeez. I can't remember. I think we were talking about Joanna
Dennehy. That was
Dennehy.
40 plus, I want to say.
Yeah, but I mentioned it then when 50? I was like, at that point, like after a certain amount of stabs, what are you even stabbing? Like what are you even putting a knife into? But 94 is almost, well, it's more than double that. So
yeah,
like, what are you even achieving at that point?
I was legit about to say, after a certain point, what are you even accomplishing? They're dead.
Yeah, they're definitely dead. Yeah. So I think there's probably a lot of rage there.
Pent up anger. Yeah, absolutely.
To be doing that many stabbings.
Yeah.
Bloodstains later found in the building's hallway suggest that Roger had attacked one or more of his victims as they entered the building. And a bloody bath towel and paper towels in the bathroom suggest that Roger had attempted to clean the hallway before he left. The men's positions suggested that each was killed separately as they entered. Two of the victims were confirmed to be Roger's roommates, and one of the ones that he accused of stealing, because they were both listed on the apartment lease. And while police were investigating whether the third was also a resident or visiting the apartment on the killing, so potentially he was just someone that was in the wrong place at the wrong time, because it wasn't someone that lived with Elliot.
Yeah.
It was just someone that was potentially just in the building. After the stabbings, Roger purchased coffee at a coffee shop, as you do. You know, little bit of light refreshment.
Oh my God. He's like, oh, I fancy a Starbucks now. I need some Starbucks.
Yeah, I need that caramel.
Jesus.
At around 8:30, he was seen working on his laptop in his car in the parking lot of his apartment building. He uploaded his retribution video, the one that I quoted from earlier, at 9:17, and sent his manifesto email to the 34 people that he'd chosen to send it to at 9:18. After receiving a copy of the manifesto, Roger's therapist, who was one of the people that he deemed worthy enough to receive it, phoned his mother, who, finding the retribution video, the latest YouTube video on his channel, contacted Roger's father. In separate cars, his parents left Los Angeles for Santa Barbara, calling the Isla Vista police en route. Roger drove to the Alpha Pi, I think is how you say it. I assume so, because it's a sorority. Alpha Pi sorority house at Embarcadero del Norte and Segovia Road near UCSB, where he knocked on the front door for a few minutes. After no one answered the door, he then began shooting people nearby. Two women were killed and a third was injured. Roger then began driving again, firing into an unoccupied coffee shop on Pardell Road, then several times into a delicatessen. A man was struck seven times and killed in the delicatessen. So he's not even, in the manifesto he said he was going to attack this sorority, but he's not even doing that anymore. He's just attacking places that are near it, which seems
quite indiscriminate at this point.
Yeah. Which I think is probably, I mean, we can talk about how it's not necessarily an incel-driven thing at this point. It's more of a mental illness-driven thing if you're just discriminately shooting anywhere, then we've maybe crossed the line. Roger drove south on the Embarcadero del Norte on the wrong side of the street, striking a pedestrian and firing at two people on the sidewalk, luckily missing them. He shot a couple exiting a pizzeria and a female cyclist. He continued to drive south on El Barcadero and shot and missed a woman before turning east on Del Playa Drive and then made a U-turn to drive west. So he's not driving particularly safely, which I think is probably safe to assume. He then exchanged fire with a sheriff's deputy, responding to a telephone report, and struck two pedestrians in the process of that. Turning north on Camino del Sur, Roger shot and wounded 3 people at Sabato Tarde Street and struck a skateboarder and 2 cyclists with his car. Turning east, he struck another skateboarder with his car and shot 2 other men at the at an intersection. Again, a little bit further down the line, Roger exchanged gunfire with 3 sheriff's deputies and was shot in the hip. Pursued by police, he turned a second time back up the same street. So this has pretty much taken place all on like 2 streets. So he really hasn't gone very far. He's very much just, going up and down these 2 streets. But in the process of that, he struck another cyclist and then crashed on the north sidewalk just east of the intersection of Del Playa and Camino Pescadero. I think it's how you say that. I'm really sorry if I've pronounced any of it.
Well, good.
So all of that whole, scenario where he's hit and injured, all of those people killed, those people started from around about 9:20 when he left the car park. He sent his email and he's left the car park. At 9:35, so, 15 minutes later, police found Roger dead inside his car from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. His car were 3 pistols, knives, 6 empty 10 magazines, and 548 rounds of unspent ammunition.
Whoa.
So I think he probably had a lot more planned if it hadn't been for the fact that he was, being pursued and decided that he was going to take his own life pretty early on. He killed 6 people in total, and all 6 of them were students at UCSB. The men who I've mentioned, but I'll just say again here, who were killed at his apartment were George Chen, who was 19, Cheng Hong, or James, who was 20, and David Wang, who was also 20. The 3 who died from gunshot wounds when he was, in the car and driving around were Catherine Cooper, who was 22, Christopher Ross Michaels Martinez, who was 20, and Veronica Weiss, who was 19. Cooper and Weiss were the women who were killed outside the Alpha Pi sorority house. And Michaels was the victim who was killed inside the Tessin, just to give context to that. So those were the 6 people that he killed. Alongside that, he also injured 14 other people, whether by shooting at them indiscriminately or by hitting them and, causing blunt force trauma with the car. Quite the list.
Yes.
I think when you think about the fact that the only reason these people have suffered and been killed, have had their lives taken, is because this couldn't lose his virginity.
Which is wild.
Like, when you say it out loud, it sounds like even more insane, but that's literally it. Yeah. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
He hadn't lost his virginity, and therefore he'd built himself up to this point where he decided to take, well, I say he decided to take 6 lives, but in theory, he could have potentially taken a lot more, like 548 rounds of unspent ammo. You are planning something major.
Yeah.
Like, it was only probably the fact that his parents had alerted the police early on that there were enough police presence there to stop him before it got to that point, but that it could have been just so much worse. Like, when you think about the amount of ammo and stuff that he had with him, it just could have been so much worse. But that doesn't, take away from the fact that 6 people lost their lives because this guy couldn't get laid.
And like we've said, women don't owe him anything. And, if it was a woman doing the same thing, then a man doesn't owe a woman sex, just like a woman doesn't owe men sex. It's a very unfortunate case of someone who was very disturbed and unfortunately saw himself as someone that he very much wasn't and couldn't compute why other people couldn't see him that way.
Yeah. As you can imagine, the attack sparked discussion of a lot of broader issues, including violence against women and misogyny. Roger frequented online forums such as PUA Hate and Forever Alone, where he and other men posted misogynistic statements and described himself online as an incel, which, again, I mentioned it at the start, it's short for involuntary celibacy, and it's a member of an online subculture based around its members' perceived inability to find romantic or sexual partner. Roger wrote, after purchasing his first gun, that he, quote, felt a new sense of power. I was now armed. Who's the alpha male now, bitches? I thought to myself, regarding all of the girls who've looked down on me in the past. Everything that
this guy
is quoted as saying makes me realize how young he is.
Yeah.
Like how immature, how nurtured he is by the online world. Like, just, I can just see this guy as being someone that is constantly on. He's like almost this stereotypical online guy who games all the time and is just constantly on 4chan and looking at memes. And like, he just, his personality is manipulated into that. And it brings him to a point where this is the sort of thing that he feels like he has to do to break out of it. But ironically, if he wasn't in it in the first place, he probably would have got laid and it wouldn't have been an issue. You know, it's I don't judge people that spend all of their time online, spend a lot of time online, and it's you know, there's nothing wrong with it. When it becomes an issue is when you spend so long doing that you allow your own personality and your own social skills to be repressed. And I think that's probably the stage that he got to.
And I think a lot of us spend a lot of time online now. I do. You said, you know, as you say, you do as well. Obviously, we spend a lot of time online for the podcast. You know, and I think just in general, a lot of people spend a lot of time online now. But they're able to still ground themselves in reality, that, you know, they don't let themselves lose grip of that reality. But unfortunately, I think that, you know, certain people, for whatever reason, it's very easy for them to become a product of the environment that they're in, whether that's online or not. You know, and it was probably very easy for, you know, for this guy to, you know, to lose that grip of real life, and become a product of the forums that he was on and the groups that he was in.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're in those forums and surrounded by people who also feel that way and who are also feeding into that narrative of women are the issue, women, you know, I keep saying women, but that's only because in this case it wasn't against women, but, you know, the opposite sex in general are the issue. You almost find, particularly if you are someone who's really lonely, really isolated, and then you find this group that back up what you already believe, it's a very dangerous situation to be in, and it cultivates violence, and that's, you know, that's not ideal. You know, inside these forums, he also talked about his, you know, plan to invade the sorority house, like, as well, aside from his sort of manifesto, he put it in forums as well. He's quoted as saying, as writing, sorry, quote, "I will slaughter every single spoiled, stuck-up blonde slut I see inside there. All those girls I've desired so much, they have all rejected me and looked down on me as an inferior." Have they?
Yeah, exactly.
Have they? Like, I find it difficult to believe that every single girl in that sorority, or in general, like in the college, has rejected him.
Yeah.
Like, flat out, he's had that interaction and they've rejected him. I think it's probably one or two have, and he's not had the confidence to speak to anyone else. So he's assuming that those two interactions are going to be the basis of all interactions with females from that point onwards. And the fact that he can't see that and isn't blaming himself for not putting himself out there more, that's where the worry comes in, I think. He's already quite a misogynistic guy. He's already, you know, crippled by rejection. But then if, for example, there's this object of his affection that's rejected him and then goes on to date someone that he considers to be inferior to him, we know he was racist. So if he's gone, she's gone on to date someone that he sees as, you know, in his mind is inferior, then that's only going to feed into his beliefs. And it's just, I think the beliefs that he has, plus the environment that he put himself in, plus the fact that he grew up being very isolated, being very lonely and being bullied, has just created this cocktail of just pure hatred, violence, which led to what he did. And it's just, I don't want to feel sorry for him, but in a way, it is quite sad. But at the same time, it's just you're just a dick. Like, you just, you know, it's not.
Yeah.
You have to be able to self-regulate, and he obviously couldn't. In online incel forums, which are still rough, Roger is probably the most frequently referenced, with incels often referring to him as their, quote, saint, and sharing memes in which his face has been superimposed onto paintings of Christian icons. Some incels considered him to be the, I guess, the prophet,
the messiah,
the progenitor of today's online incel communities. It's common to see references to ER in incel forums, and mass violence by incels is regularly referred to as going ER, which is fucking terrifying. Roger has been referenced by the perpetrators or suspected perpetrators of several other mass killings. For example, Alec Minassian, who killed 11 and injured 15 in Toronto, Canada. Shortly before committing that crime, he posted on Facebook, quote, "The incel rebellion has already become. We will overthrow all of the Chads and Stacys. All hail the supreme gentleman, Elliot Roger." The place.
Great.
The place you want to be taking inspiration from.
Great.
But yeah, the fact that there's still people out there. And bear in mind, this, the Isla Vista killings took place in 2014. So these forums are still very active and are still very much idolizing this man who it's just not a good guy. Not a good guy at all. It's quite a scary state of affairs.
Yeah. And like you said, it's still very much a culture that's rampant. Reddit has a fuck ton of them. So many. Both incel and so earlier on I said that there are female incels, so I think femcel is the name for that specific side of it. So there's loads of femcel communities as well on Reddit and other forums, which obviously is the same thing, but it's men that you hate and that you want to eradicate rather than women. And it's a shame that both of these communities exist. It's a shame that femcel is a thing, and it's a shame that incel is a thing. Because, like we said, women don't owe men sex or anything. Men don't owe women sex or anything. And, you know, you need to look at yourself and maybe better yourself and not try and generalize an entire gender.
Exactly. So that is the story of Elliot Roger and the Isla Vista killings. Not a particularly nice one, and not really a case that we haven't done anything like this for a while. I don't think.
No. We haven't done a mass sort of killing case. The last one would be...
Brenda Ann Spencer. Was that the last one?
The school shooting. Yeah, I'm pretty sure
that
was
Yeah, I don't like Mondays.
Sort of mass killing.
Yeah, that was quite a long time ago, so...
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it's, it was. It's. I thought we'd have a bit of a change. But yeah, like I said, recommended to me. So
what a case to use. Wow.
Right? But yeah, definitely a fascinating case. There's a lot of YouTube stuff and, you know, I think the full manifesto is available online. Not the, personally, I would never particularly want to read it. But, you know, that way inclined, it is available online. It's toxic. You know, I mean, I pick just a handful of quotes from it. If you do go and look up any of this stuff afterwards, please exercise caution and just, you know, be a good person. Yes. Just be a good person because that's essentially all it comes down to, right? Even... Like, you know, keep your scope in your head and just talk to someone. You know, it's not as bad as you think it is.
Who would have thought that the idea of be a good person and if you get rejected by a woman, move on to the next one would be so difficult to understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's astonishing.
Yeah, I mean, I almost wanted to end this episode on, like, tips for picking up women, but then I thought, no, we may be crossing a line. But yeah, just you know, keep chipping away. Eventually you'll find someone that likes you back. Yeah. And you know, if you don't, it's fine. Crazy. Not the end of the world. You know, sex isn't the be all and end all, and it really doesn't matter. I sound like I'm really against sex. I fucking love sex, but it's just not, it's not the be all and end.
It's not worth this, is it?
No, it's not worth shooting people. It's not worth any of this. So yeah, no. just keep strong and don't.
No.
Don't, you know, get sucked into the online bullshit, I think is the short answer.
No, absolutely not. Just get a dog.
Dogs are great.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're a bit lonely, get a dog. You'll be fine. Cool. Well, thank you. Dom, would you care to see us out for this week?
Yes, gladly. Thank you, Ames, for today's case. And just want to say, after a few weeks out, it was lovely to record with you again, my love. I have missed you greatly. I've missed recording with you greatly. So it was very, very nice.
Thank you. I didn't cough my guts up too much. Again. That's good.
You didn't. Next week will be a little bit different. So it's not going to be a true crime case. It's going to be sort of... So it's going to be the life and crimes and eventually death of one of the most infamous outlaws of the Old West. There are many ways that you can support the podcast. You can follow us on social media at horrorhouse_pod on Instagram. You can follow us on whatever podcast app it is you listen on. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel, which has been barren for for a good few weeks now. We do still have it, and we will put this episode on there, so do not worry, subscribers, we will be back. If you would like to use a bit of dollar, oh, there you go, got some love hearts for you.
I get it now.
If you want to support us by giving a little bit of dollar, then you can use the Buy Me A Coffee link. You guys know what that is. You donate to the show by buying us a coffee. Simple as that. But until next week, all that's left to say from me is, as always, stay very, very spooky.
Stay spooky!
Oh, dearie me. What a guy. What a guy.
A guy. A guy.
What a guy.
Just pay for it. I mean, if you're really that stressed. If you're really that stressed, if you're really that desperate to lose your V plates, just pay for it.
Yeah.
I don't condone prostitution.
Fair point.
Like, maybe I shouldn't be saying, you know, I don't feel the need to say that out loud. I don't condone prostitution. But there's ways that you can get laid, you know?
I mean, if it stops him from going up and shooting up a town, then go yeah. find a prostitute and get laid.
Yeah. Just don't worry about it. But yeah, if there's any 22-year-old virgins listening, don't worry about it. Don't stress.
Yeah. 22 is not an issue. Nothing, honestly.
No.
Nothing.
It's, you know, and the first time's shit anyway. They're just crap. So, you know, just enjoy being a virgin, and then when the time comes, knock one out and then just move on. You know, it's not going to be an issue. What I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's just end the episode. See ya.